Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, Numbers 260 to 346. M.R., Number 263, Ellen White's Burden in Norway and Sweden. My mind has been burdened in regard to the condition of the church in this place. When the mission fields in this country were opened before me, I was shown many things in every branch of the mission that needed a different mold. There was much need of exalting the standard in this place in many respects, before a correct and saving influence could go forth to other places. As the truth has been presented here, it has taken persons from the world and from the churches and brought them together in church capacity. But not all who have professed to believe the truth are sanctified through it. God calls upon the workers in this mission to elevate the standard and to show their regard for His requirements by honoring the Sabbath. Christiania is an important point in our mission fields. It is the great center of our work for the Scandinavian peoples. From this place, the publications are sent out, and the laborers go forth to proclaim the commandments of God. And it is of the greatest importance that a right influence be exerted by this church, both by precept and example. The standard must not be placed so low that those who accept the truth shall transgress God's commandments while professing to obey them. Better, far better, would it be to leave them in darkness until they could receive the truth in its purity. There are those who are watching this people to see what is the influence of the truth upon them. The children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. When the claims of the fourth commandment are set before them, they look to see how it is regarded by those who profess to obey it. They study the life and character of its advocates to learn whether these are in harmony with their profession of faith. And upon the opinions thus formed, many are influenced very largely in the acceptance or rejection of the truth. If this people will conform their lives to the Bible standard, they will be indeed a light in the world, a city set upon a hill. From the first, some in Christiania have bargained that they will come so far in their faith and no farther. They only decided to hold with the church and the world, and unless they are converted, when these, the church and the world, separate, they will be swept in with the world. With some, business has come first. It has been a mental reservation with them. And when it comes in conflict with the truth, it is more afflicting with them to give up their idol than to retain a wicked heart. Conscience is on the side of the truth, but their hearts are with the world, and Satan makes speedy work with all such when the test comes. All who venture to choose their own way before God's requirements are on dangerous ground. There are very many in the churches who are deceiving their own souls. They reach a standard of their own creating. They think that religion consists of going to church to hear sermons and to have a good, happy feeling. If their emotions are stirred and a few tears are shed, this is positive evidence to them that they are Christians. Upon these feelings, and a general belief that Jesus is the Savior of the world, they base their hope of salvation. They do not comprehend that if they ever reach heaven, it must be by daily self-denial and conflict. Many whose names are on the church books know no more about practical godliness than the veriest sinner. This fair-weather Christianity will not do in the time toward which we are rushing. Under the sun of scorching trial, all such will be found withered away. We stand on the threshold of great and solemn events. Prophecy is fast fulfilling. A new life is descending from on high and taking possession of God's people. Some souls will have to advance fast, or they will have to be left far behind in darkness. The judgment is hastening. The Word of God is rebuking, warning, and entreating men to reach the Bible standard. But Satan has brought about such a condition of things in our churches that it will be most difficult to bring them to their senses and arouse them to see their God-given responsibilities. If they will with real contrition of heart confess their sins, they may, through watchfulness and prayer, come off conquerors. But they must look beyond earthly gain, away from worldly advantages, to the great beyond. They must hesitate at no sacrifice for Christ's sake, who has paid for them the penalty of the law transgressed. We are now living in the solemn period of the antitypical Day of Atonement. In the type, the sins of the people were, on the atonement day, to be called to mind and repented of. It was a time of humiliation and affliction of soul. The greatest care was enjoined that every part of the service be attended to with becoming reverence, lest the anger of the Lord be displayed. The high priest was required to make the most careful and solemn preparation, and he must guard himself with the utmost diligence from all contamination. How much more while the anti-typical atonement is going on in heaven, should those who minister in sacred things be holy? Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, said Christ. I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified. Those who are sent to the people in Christ's stead should be men of God, pure in life, pure in conversation, in samples to the flock. They have a solemn work before them, warning every man and teaching every man, in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. 3, 1885, 1, 8, 9, 11-13. Sermon, The Obedience of the Sabbath, October 8, 1885. We should not allow any feelings to come into our hearts against any of our brethren, for this is not the Spirit of Christ. It is not the principle of truth to be finding fault and thinking evil of our brethren. If there are any difficulties that arise in your midst, seek every way that you can to adjust them. This is your Christian duty. You may think that your brother is wholly in the fault, but if your brother does not come to you, you must go to him and try to come together. You must be in harmony. Unless you are in harmony with another person, Christ cannot abide in your heart. Will you bow before God in prayer every day and ask him to let the light of his Holy Spirit come into your hearts? And do not cease pleading with God until every evil thought and feeling is overcome. Christ says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." How much of this work have you done? Should the spirit of confession come into the church, you would surely see of the salvation of God. The trouble with many is they have lost sight of Jesus and fail to see the self-denial and love and mercy in his character, and therefore they do not imitate his life. But Jesus wants us to be one with him as he was one with the Father, and he wants us to be united one with another. We want to show to the world that we have a faith that is elevating, that it makes us kind, courteous, self-denying, and begets in us love and reverence for God, and makes us Christian ladies and gentlemen. We must pray more earnestly for the grace of Christ, which is essential for us if we preserve our integrity and spiritual life. If anyone comes to you and begins to tell you of the faults of another, if you cannot stop that voice in any other way, lift your voice and sing the doxology. Vain talkers and mischief makers are Satan's agents in doing his work. There is a great work to be done for this church, and the sad part of it is, there are so many well satisfied with themselves. They must be converted. Their thoughts must be directed in a divine channel. We have a mighty soul-purifying truth, and this truth is to sanctify us individually. Satan has come down with great power, knowing that his time is short. He will overthrow the faith of some in this assembly unless we keep close to Jesus. We are warned that he, Satan, will work with all power and signs and lying wonders, and therefore we want to be building up a firm character. All our powers should be trained to war against the enemy, for as Christ's faithful soldiers, we want to be minutemen and give no place to the devil. There is something for every one of us to do to clear the King's highway. We want to confess and forsake our sins and have them go beforehand to judgment, that when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus, our sins will be blotted out. What we want is pure and undefiled religion before God. And I pray for you, my brethren, that you may make sure work for eternal life. As a messenger of Jesus Christ, I entreat of you to let love come into your hearts. Every soul that shall be saved must be holy and pure in this world. Every soul that falls upon the rock and is broken, Christ with his everlasting arms gathers them to his bosom. Put your heart into the work. Released March 24th, 1971.